this evening related to a cell tower application. Singular wireless PCS, and we don't have to go through the process again as far as legal counsel. However, I will open the public hearing at this time, and I will ask for a declaration of potential conflicts of interest or disclosure of any ex parte communication.
I have an AT&T cell phone.
I don't believe that'll.
Do you live in the service area?
No.
Okay. And I have no conflict or have had no ex parte communication or contact myself either. So with that, we'll turn it over to Mark for staff report.
Mr. Members, as with the prior presentation, I will keep my comments relatively brief. You're going to be deciding on two separate applications tonight simply because our process for approving cell towers requires both a discretionary use application and a site plan review application. Both were submitted as part of your packet. The staff report makes findings with regard to both. They are contained in one report, but just for clarification, the Planning Commission will need to make two separate decisions on this issue. The proposal is to construct a 120-foot tall monopine, which is basically a faux pine cell tower in the Court Sports parking lot at 2728 Pheasant Boulevard. The tower facility includes a 20-foot by 30-foot enclosed landscape shelter that contains the electronics, air conditioning, and backup generator for the equipment. The Springfield Development Code defines this type of camouflage facility as a moderate visibility installation, which requires your review and approval. The tower facility is proposed for the southwest corner of the Court Sports Complex. The zoning in the area is community commercial. Adjacent to the community commercial is multifamily zoning. The nearest residence is about 140 feet away. Those are residences at the Point condominium development. There are additional duplexes in that same neighborhood. The nearest single family home is something over 600 feet away. The applicant has submitted a complete application. In work session, we talked about the nature of the service gap that is in that gateway area for AT&T customers. The applicant did a good job of demonstrating that filling that service gap could not be accomplished by co-location, could not be accomplished by a shorter tower or by locating on building tops or other less visible kinds of means. In response, they've submitted a proposal for a camouflage tree. We call it a monopine. It's going to be a difficult tree to conceal given that the development in that gateway area is newer. There are no trees old enough to be tall enough to have this 120-foot tree fit in. Nonetheless, I think that the proposed monopine approach to trying to reduce the visual impact of the facility in the neighborhood is a good choice. In work session, the commission in March 4th, commission members expressed concern about the appearance of the proposed tree. Staff worked with the A&T representatives, and they have proposed additional options for the commission's consideration. I have distributed to you a series of options. And this will be part of the record so that you know that you have other options in addition to the proposed tree that was part of your original packet. These are intended to, I guess, address the commission's concern about the appearance and trying to give the commission more latitude in making a decision about a tree for the site. There has been no comment offered by residents, either by phone or by mail, and just a reminder that neighboring residents and property owners within 300 feet of the court sports property itself are sent out, and frankly, I was a little surprised that we didn't get feedback, but we did get a few calls, but it was mostly just asking for an explanation of what the notice, you know, what's this about, and I received no comment, or it's no comments, no opinions, or whatever about the tower. It's just, what is this notice? So, having evaluated the application against both the standards for approving a discretionary use and against standards for approving the site plan review, there were four conditions that apply to this particular application that I would recommend be added to whatever approval is part of this. Condition number one, that the applicant provide evidence that all exterior light fixtures employ cutoff optics as required by the standard in the Springfield Development Code. That the applicant amend its planting plan to include all drought tolerant plant materials or show how other plants shall be irrigated to assure their survival. Condition number three stems from the Springfield Utility Board's Wellhead Protection Program, and it simply requires that the a small sign be installed near the equipment shelter, indicating that if there's a spill of fuel on the site, who to call at SUBT for cleanup and so on. And then condition number four has to do with attaching instructions to the actual contractor's construction plans, telling the contractor how to handle spills of fuel or other kinds of materials during the construction process. These are listed as conditions 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the staff report. There were no other conditions, and I will close my presentation and just stand for questions.
Mark, has this been entered into the public record?
I'm entering it by reference.
I
need to do something more, but we are formally entering this sheet of paper that has five different options on it. I can look at the council. Is there anything else that we need to do?
I think that's good. Brenda, is that good for you?
It's in the record.
It's in the record.
Okay. Okay. At this time, we'll entertain any testimony from the applicant.
That's an AT&T phone.
He's got four bars here.
Very good. First, thank you very much, commissioners, for taking the time this evening surrounding the proposed AT&T site development at the Pheasant Boulevard property. As Mr. Metzger already relayed, the intent is to build a 120-foot monopine tower. And the reason for doing so is to address a significant coverage gap that AT&T customers are currently experiencing. My name is Steve Bodine, and I work with Lexcom Development Corp., and I'm here representing AT&T Wireless. Behind me is Mr. Doug Sandstrom. Doug Sandstrom, also Lexcom Development Corp., he oversees all project management for Oregon and Washington for AT&T Wireless. Before we get too far down the path, I thought I'd take at least 2 minutes and give you kind of a rundown on how this process works and how we got to where we are today in terms of where that site is being positioned. As a site acquisition specialist for AT&T, it mainly starts with inbound customer complaints coming into AT&T customer service areas. We have dropped calls, we have missed calls, we can't upload our data into our phones, et cetera, et cetera. Customer service corrals all this information that's relayed into AT&T's RF engineering team. Simultaneously, AT&T's RF engineers are consistently monitoring existing network looking for gaps in coverage and areas of improvement and where that's needed. The end result of all of that is what's called a search ring. AT&T basically generates a search ring that's handed to an individual like myself, and on this search ring is a map. And the map is fairly small in most cases, and it basically says we need, in order to meet our service and coverage objectives, a new site with a minimum height requirement of 120 feet for our antennas in order to address the coverage gap. My next step in site acquisition at that point is to start the process by calling the jurisdiction, understanding what the code requirements are, driving the search ring, and trying to identify the least intrusive and best option for AT&T that will fit within the code and the jurisdiction requirements. In this case, it's a commercial zone, and we always try to, let me step back. We always have kind of benchmarks that we look for. In site acquisition, we look for commercial zones, we look for tall buildings, and first and foremost, we look for co-location opportunities. If we could have done that in this scenario, we may have gone with a co-location. Unfortunately, given the search ring parameters, which are set by AT&T RF Engineering, the only option was to look at specified areas in this zone. Now, luckily, we were able to identify something in the community commercial zone, and we've landed at the Pheasant Boulevard property. So, in terms of the design considerations, we've come up with the monopine option, and we've identified five options for the commission for consideration at this point. Some of the earlier feedback that we did receive was some of the concern with how the appearance of this monopine would look. And I think in the original photo simulations and the original site plan, it showed the 120-foot tower, and then it also showed, though, the antennas at the very top of that tower kind of peering above what would be the foliage of the tree. AT&T is prepared to work on this design and come back with one of these five options that will be more, and I'll say, less intrusive for the community by extending the pole probably to 135 feet. In that general scenario, we will have a more, I'll say, cone approach so that we can bury the antennas, if you will, deeper into that foliage and provide better stealthing capabilities for the antennas and the overall appearance in the community. So that's pretty much the background in terms of where we stand today. We would appreciate the opportunity and feedback on any of these options. AT&T is prepared to move forward with any of these options as identified, and we'll follow jurisdiction requirements to give the community what they're looking for in this regard. I'm not sure, Doug, if you have anything else you want to add to this. So any questions from the commission at this point? I'm here to address.
Questions? Well, I would just say I appreciate your willingness to work with this community. We are somewhat sensitive. This is relatively new code for us in relation to these cell phone towers. And so I really appreciate you hearing our concerns in work session through Mark, comments made during our work sessions, and coming back to us with some options. So we'll have discussion around those options here very shortly.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. No other requests for testimony. Mark, you have anything else to add?
No, again, I'd be glad to answer any additional questions, but I think you have your assignment there to evaluate the options and give us direction.
Okay. So Let's start, shall we? Who would like to talk in terms of the options presented?
Good to hear that.
Yeah.
I guess I would recommend the option number one with the additional height from 120 feet, so that you get more of a, you know, a tree-like look. And then my concern also is from about, I think we mentioned two-thirds of the tree that needs to be covered. Is that right?
It was three-quarters.
Or three-quarters, sorry. Three-quarters of the tree that needs to be covered, at least, to make it look as natural as possible. So.
Okay.
During the work session, I initially liked option number four, but then the concept of option number one having more coverage for the potential for co-location, I thought was a good point. So I'm starting to lean towards one now. So I like that idea.
Well, as I indicated earlier, I was basically amenable to any of the five options. So any preferences that anyone has, I'd be fine with that, because I really felt that the original simulation that we originally saw was not going to really be satisfactory appearance-wise. So I think this is, any of these options is a dramatic improvement over the original depiction that we originally looked at.
Okay. Commissioner Pearl?
I would go with option one. It's got more density because of three branches per foot, so it's easier to hide the.
And my only comment would be I'm completely in favor of option one. I think it certainly, to me, looks the most natural. I think the key for me is we talked about some socks or some additional coverage on the antennas themselves so they don't stand out like silver, you know, shiny devices that are in amongst the branches. So I would recommend whatever option we take. We ask that they give us that additional coverage of the antennas. Okay. So I think, you know, I think we generally have consensus on the monopine. I think it's generally number one. Okay. So at this time.
Did you close the public hearing?
Not yet. I would certainly consider a request for closing the public hearing and closing the public record.
I would move that we close the public hearing and the record, along with the recommendation.
Moved by Commissioner Moe and seconded by Commissioner Bose to close the record and the public hearing. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I certainly would entertain a motion.
After our work session and reviewing our staff report, I move to approve TYP314-00002 and TY0214-00002, new singular wireless PCS proposal to construct option number one cell phone tower in the court sport parking lot at 2728 Pheasant Boulevard, Springfield, with the following provisions or additional following conditions of approval, with the provisions that the height might need to go above the 120 feet to achieve the natural cone-like structure of a normal tree or natural tree, and then also with the foliage extending down approximately three-quarter length of the pole to provide additional coverage, and the suggestion of the antenna socks for additional stealthiness. So.
Okay. Yes?
Can I ask that you clarify the motion to include conditions of approval 1-4 that are found in the staff report to make sure that those are also conditions?
Including conditions 1.
Including into conditions 1, 2, and 4 from the
one
staff
through four?
One through four from the staff report. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure I heard that. Can you repeat it?
No.
I second the motion.
Okay. Okay. So it's been moved by Commissioner Nelson, seconded by Commissioner Moe, that we approve the this as presented, option one, with the provisions identified in the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Any reports of council action? I can tell you that I Monday went to a council work session and meeting for goal setting, and I drove up in the parking lot, and I was met and told that it had been canceled. So unfortunately, I did not get to attend that meeting. So I have nothing to report. Any others?
I have a question on this letter. That's
okay.
And I usually go to the council meetings too, but I blew Monday off. Yeah.
Okay.
This letter on our desk.
Question related
to. It was a letter that was mailed to our address for you guys just to have.
Okay.
It's just a communication. It's been added to Linda Pauley's record for the 2030.
Okay, for the 2030 plan.
I think so.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Was the request by the person who wrote it?
That just be
to be given to the Planning Commission as individual members, not necessarily be given to the Planning Commission as part of their record of tonight.
Correct.
Okay.
So you just received it as individual members.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I can say that on Monday night at the council meeting, because I was there, they had a work session discussion about possibility of having the taking over nuisance code enforcement in the urban transition area. And they directed us to come back with a proposal, including a budget for that, as soon as we could. So that'll be a consideration for them probably in May.
Okay.
Doesn't really have any implications to you, but it was something they did.
Okay. Business from the Planning Commission. I did get information from Brenda related to the work session and follow-up on you met apparently to discuss questions that might be proposed. So we'll be bringing that back to the work session on April 1st. Is that correct, Brenda?
Correct.
So that'll be a point of discussion, or that's on our work session agenda.
Bring it up now.
It'll be on the work session
okay.
agenda
That's,
on, the,
okay.
on the first, and then Neil
good.
Will be there, and we'll have some
okay.
we'll have some
I
more
have
discussion.
The draft,
yeah,
so. Okay.
It's been scheduled for the first.
Okay.
So and so we'll get that in plenty of time to review it prior to that work session.
Yep.
So. Okay. any other business? Hearing none. The meeting stands adjourned.